Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 5 and 6 together. Proverbs chapter 3. Start in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. That's what I want us to look at this morning. The idea of acknowledging our dependence upon God. That's not a new idea. We recognize that we need to, that we depend on Him. There are things we can't do for ourselves. But the wisdom literature was saying that a long, long time ago. As long as there have been challenges, then there have been people who looked to God and admitted their helplessness with some of those challenges. Sometimes they did it kicking and screaming. Aren't you glad the scriptures didn't hide that from us? But think back to some of your heroes. Heroes in the scriptures. Heroes of the faith. Some of the most inspiring events in our heroes' lives are when they get right here. Whatever it takes to get them right here. When they turn their problems over to the Lord. Look in Psalm 16. The 16th Psalm. Kind of a real quick way to just kind of put all this together into one phrase. And then we'll build from that. 16th Psalm. Verse 1. Again, sometimes we fight this attitude and we have to be humbled to admit it. Well, sometimes our heroes did as well. But here's where we want to be. Psalm 16, look in verse 1 with me. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. There are times when we have all just went through our life in times where we're just doing our own thing. We do what we want to do, when we want to do it, as long as we want to do it, for no simple reason other than the fact that we want to do it. Scriptures are full of people who made those same choices. And then life does things to us. Life humbles us. And we saw that in Proverbs 3. We see that with that initial statement in the psalm that we just read. The ones who did it, the ones who reached this point, I need you. I can't handle this on my own. They were never, ever disappointed. So what I want to do today is kind of look at some examples of some heroes. Look at examples of some people that we know, that we remember, and kind of look at the situation that would have brought them to this attitude. Let's start by looking at Solomon. Look in 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. We're just going to look at three examples. We're going to do them in chronology. We're starting in 1 Kings 3. This would be the United Kingdom. Saul is gone. David is gone. And now Solomon, king of all United Israel. When Solomon first became king, remember David was, this did not happen in a normal order of progression. Usually, a king died, and then somebody took his place. That didn't happen with Solomon's ascension. There was rebellion. It was just a rebellious time. And so what David did was, he recognized another rebellion coming from another son, and he just sped it up. I guess you would say he kind of resigned, might not be exactly the right word, but he stepped aside, and he let Solomon take over, and David's still alive. And when Solomon first took over, David kind of greasing the wheels a little bit. He said, he gave him advice on how to carry out some early actions. Let me tell you about Joab. Here's what you need to do to Joab. Let me tell you about him. Let me tell you what this one did. And he just kind of gives David some beginning points. Don't forget to handle that. And you're going to have to handle it very strongly. Well, Solomon does all that. He's done all those initial things David gave advice on. David is now gone. David does die. And now Solomon is a little head over heels. Now he's realizing the depth of this role he is now in. He's a little bit baffled. He's got this vast kingdom. He's got this incredible number of people he's now responsible for. His decisions are going to impact daily. And he takes a deep breath and realizes, wow, I don't know if I'm ready for this. We're picking what with that mindset. Now, 1 Kings chapter 3, look in verse 7. Oh Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of David my father. I am but a young man. I do not know how to go out or come in. That's not false humility there. That's Solomon saying, I just don't have the experience for this. I'm not ready for this. I'm still trying to figure out my own life, and now I'm responsible for all these other lives. Anybody ever felt that? Look in verse 8. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen. Solomon understood the importance of Israel. You picked them out of all the people of the world, all the nations, all the countries. You picked them. I'm now in charge of this. I am in the midst of the people which you have chosen. A great people that can't be numbered or counted. See, I don't even know how many's in this. You know, every 10 years, we just did it, you know, last year. Every 10 years, America goes through the census, trying to figure out the best they can. He said, I don't even know. I have no idea how many people I'm responsible for. But I know they are special people to you. Verse 9. Give, therefore, your servant an understanding heart to judge the people, that I might discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? Let me just suggest to you, this is Solomon at his greatest moment. He never surpasses this. And we understand how Solomon ended up. It was a gradual decline. Here's where he never goes higher. However low he ends up being, in my mind, he was never higher than right here. What a wonderful statement to make. What a wonderful recognition to have. You've given me responsibilities. They are important responsibilities. I feel a little overwhelmed. I feel a little unsure about, I can't do this on my own. I hope we've all come to that recognition. I hope we've all made that recognition of acknowledging, I need your help with this. Get your song book. Turn to number 72. 72. I just want to sing some songs concerning this topic that we're looking at. Picking out some verses that would just hopefully here and there bring these thoughts to our minds. Songs we sing all the time. None of these are going to be new. As we pull out these particular verses, when the times we're overwhelmed, when the times we feel the responsibilities might be a little bit more than our skill, our experience. Number 72, sing verse 3 with me.
Be with me, Lord, no other gift or blessing thou couldst bestow could with this one compare. A constant sense of thy abiding presence, where'er I am, to feel that thou art near.
Turn back to number 63. Page 63, in the overwhelmed moments. Sing with me verse 2.
I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee.
Solomon asked for wisdom. He asked for understanding. He asked for the ability to judge. And when he did that, maybe some fear left. Maybe some of the anxiety controlled. If we were to read through the rest of that chapter, we see the thankfulness that he would have had. And he put that wisdom to use for a while, for good use. Well, we want to be able to mimic that psalm. Psalm 16, verse 1. Preserve me, O Lord. I put my trust in you. There are things in life that we're not ready for on our own. Make sure we're able to acknowledge this. Go from the United Kingdom to the divided kingdom. Turn to 2 Chronicles 20. Probably not as familiar of a section as what we just looked at. Most in here would have known about that request Solomon made. He didn't ask for gold. He didn't ask for silver. He didn't ask for possessions. He didn't ask for a long life. He said, please help me judge better. Help me have good wisdom when I make pronouncements. And God blessed him with that. Most of us were aware of Solomon's request. 2 Chronicles 20. The divided kingdom, however, might be one of our blind spots. We might not be as familiar with some of those kings. Now you've got Israel and Judah. You've got 20 some odd kings in both of them concurrently. It seems like the names who don't start with a J starts with an A, and they all just kind of just crushing together. We might not be as familiar with Jehoshaphat, but he was a good king. He made a bad decision when he interconnected and joined an alliance with Ahab. What a horrible decision that was. But Jehoshaphat was a good king. There was a lot of righteousness about him. He was one of the higher marks of Judah's. He wouldn't have been to the point of Hezekiah or Josiah, obviously. But he respected God. He removed idolatry. And like Solomon, he finds himself in a position where he knows, I can't handle this on my own. With Solomon, it was about judgments. It was about pronouncements. It was about ruling and leading. And with Jehoshaphat, there was an enemy that showed up. And Judah had an army, but they didn't have a standing army. They didn't have it ready at his beck and call. Well, now there's no time to call. Look in verse 1 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It came to pass after this that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and the other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to do battle. Now we find out who that other group was. They were from Mount Seir. We find that out later on in the chapter. But what you got? I mean, just what verse 1 gives us the details of. There is this three-way alliance that have joined themselves together. Three differing nations who join together as a confederacy, and they are rolling straight to Jerusalem. Jehoshaphat doesn't have time to call an army up. He doesn't have time to defend and make ratifications. He's just sitting ducks, we would say. Sometimes there are enemies we know we can't defeat. We'll apply that a little bit later on. And in those times where now Jehoshaphat has found himself, he just depends on God. He goes to Solomon, or he goes to God just as Solomon did. I can't do this on our own. We can't handle this on our own. It's a different reasoning. It's a different cause, but it's the same acknowledgments. We have to depend on you. We have no other hope. So look in verse 3. He is terrified, and rightfully so. Jehoshaphat, verse 3, feared. And he set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. Everybody is involved in this. I'm going to pray for our deliverance. I am going to acknowledge that we can't do this on our own. And I want every one of you involved in that. So he has a fast, nationwide fast going on. Drop down to verse 6. Here's the prayer. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over the kingdoms of nations? And in your hand is there not power and might that none is able to withstand? Are you not the God who drove us, or who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham, your friend? He said, God, you're the God of heaven, and you're still there. You are the God who created nations. You are the God who rises nations. You are the God who brings nations down. You're the God that put us here. Here's Jehoshaphat acknowledging the very fact that we are a nation. The very fact that we are in this land where we are. You're the one behind all of that. You rise nations up. You bring nations down. He's acknowledging God's power and God's hand in that. Drop down to verse 12. Our God, will you not judge them? We have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither do we know what to do. Our eyes are upon you. Again, the reasoning is completely different from Solomon's, but the prayer is exactly the same. Solomon had a problem. I don't know how to do it. I can't do this on my own. Jehoshaphat has a problem. We can't do this on our own. Turn to number 74. Again, a song we're familiar with. Sing number 80. Sing verse 1 of 74. And again, we're thinking of those times in our life when hopefully we're humbled and we'll make those same acknowledgments.
Abide with me, fast was the even tried. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, O abide with me.
Turn to 420. Number 420, a song taken from an event just like the days of Jehoshaphat. Another time when God's people being threatened by a force that they didn't think they could handle on their own, that they couldn't handle on their own. And then God gives them victory. And then they raise up that altar, Ebenezer, which was not a name of a person. It was a statement. We have been victorious because of you. When it says we raise up our Ebenezer, by your help we've come, that was them acknowledging we were victorious because of you. Let us acknowledge that looking back in our own life. Sing the second verse.
Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, hither post his precious blood.
Think for just a moment about what Jehoshaphat was worried about. There is a foe we can't defeat on our own. There is an enemy we can't defeat on our own. And now think about the application of what we just read. We have an Ebenezer. We have a victory that wasn't through our own. It was through another. By your help, we come. And then the last part of that song, that verse, talks about what that help was. Jesus' blood. That's all we have to raise up. That's the only Ebenezer that we have. Some enemies were too much for Jehoshaphat. I acknowledge that, Lord. Help. There were enemies we could never and will never overcome on our own. You want to give a name to it? Sin. You want to give a name to it? Death. All the skill we have, all the smarts we have, all the experience we have doesn't conquer either one of them. Jesus was the only one who did. Jesus was the only one who could. And by His blood, He made that possible for us. Raise that up. Acknowledge that. And now go from the divided kingdom to the captivity period. Daniel chapter 2. Another hero of ours. Daniel chapter 2. This is early on in Daniel's life. It's kind of interesting. Solomon had big, complicated issue. And the issue was, I've got a lot of responsibilities for a lot of people. I'm not ready for this. I need your help. Jehoshaphat had a big, complicated issue. There's a lot of people coming from every direction. I can't handle this on our own. I need your help. Daniel didn't have a big, complicated issue. Daniel had one issue, and his name was Nebuchadnezzar. Like most ancient Middle Eastern rulers, ruthless, violent, cruel. Nebuchadnezzar is no different from that. And he begins having these dreams. And he wakes up from the dreams out of fear. But he couldn't remember what they were. You remember the setting? So he has a plan that fits with his character, fits with his personality. Look in verse 2, Daniel chapter 2. The king commanded that they call all the magicians and astrologers and enchanters and sorcerers and the Chaldeans to show his dream. And they came and stood before the king. All right, you have a job to do. I want you to tell me my dream. And if you don't tell me the dream, I'm going to kill you. Well, they begin to argue with that. They say, oh, no, hang on a minute. You tell us what the dream was, and we'll tell you what it means. Look in verse 5. The king answered and said to them, it's gone from me. Now, I can't tell you that. I don't know what it is. That's your job. It's gone from me. If you will not make known to me the dream with the interpretation, you will be cut to pieces and your houses will be made a dunghill. You tell me what I dreamed and you tell me what it meant. Well, they begin to argue again. King, be serious about this. We'll be glad to tell you what it meant. We'll be glad to interpret it. Tell us what it was. Drop down to verse 9. The end of the conversation is this. If you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. There is one law for you. You have prepared lying, corrupt words to speak before me. Look at that last phrase. Tell me the dream, and then I will know that you can interpret it. No, we're not playing the game. We're not going to play the, I tell you this and you try to tell me what you think it means either. Here's the rule. Here's the law. And it's the only law. I've already spoken on this. You tell me what I dreamed. It'll remind me of it. If you get it right, I'll know you got it right. And when I know you got it right, then I can trust your interpretation. And then he goes on. If we're to keep on going, if you miss it, you're dead. I'm killing you. I'm killing the whole shebang. Taking the families out. Well, Daniel gets wrapped up into that. Daniel now a part of that. He's his head on the chopping block. And this is early on. This is not Daniel like we see in the lion's den. This is Daniel, still relatively young man. And he's not an interpreter. He's never done this stuff before. And now he's gotten wrapped up in this, and now he is part of who's going to be killed. Look what he does in verse 17. Daniel went to his house, and he made this thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Now, if those names sound strange to you, you had to know Daniel had friends like that. But that's because you know him as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's the three friends. This is their Hebrew name. He's not calling them by their Hebrew name. He goes to his three friends, the ones who stood with him when they first got there, about what they would not defile themselves with, the foods and the drinks that they would not touch. He goes to them, people he trusts, people whose faith he has come to respect. And he goes and tells them, here's what's going to happen to me. I want your prayers. I want you to petition God about this for me. I can't do this on my own. And he's acknowledging that. Look in verse 18. What does he want them to do? What's his request? That they would desire mercies, verse 18, from the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Look, here's what's going to happen to me. I can't do this on my own. I don't know how to interpret dreams. I don't know. I need God's help. I need you to pray concerning this for me. And that's exactly what happened. God does through a vision. God does give him the answer to that. God does for him what he couldn't do for himself. Verse 20. When that happens, Daniel answered and he said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." Look in verse 23. "I thank thee, I praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has delivered me wisdom and might, who has made known unto me now what was desired of thee, for you has made known unto me the king's matter." Drop down to verse 28. As he comes to Nebuchadnezzar and tells him this right off the bat. And here's the thing we can love and appreciate about Daniel. He doesn't take any. He's not looking for glory. He's not. He can do what nobody else in the kingdom can do, but he's not looking to be bragged about. Immediately what he does is in verse 28. He says, "There is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. The dream and the visions of your head upon your bed are these." And then he goes on to talk about that head of gold that we're familiar with. He begins to talk about that chest and breastplate. He begins to talk about the silver and the brass and the clay. But the first, before he ever said one word about it, he said, "There's a God of heaven that reveals these things. It's not me. I'm dependent on another." Here's Solomon. "I can't do this." Here's Jehoshaphat. "I can't do this." Here's Daniel. "I can't do this." Sometimes we don't have the answers. Turn to number 83 in your songbook. Sing this song from the heart. Let it be our prayer. We've seen Solomon pray. We've seen Jehoshaphat pray. We've seen Daniel petition others to pray. Number 83, let's sing verse 3, the last verse.
Should thy mercy send me sorrow to
Excuse me. Julia, would you start that? I've lost the tune. Would you start this for me? Okay. I'm sorry.
Should thy mercy send me
I'm so sorry.
I lost that. Ty, would you lead it? Let's start it again. Let's do this one more time. I wanted to sing it the way it was written. I'm sorry that I got that song messed up. As we sing it this time, singing it. Let it be our words. Let it be our heart. Let it be our prayer. Verse 3.
When doubts and fears arise, teach me thy way. When storms o'erspread the skies, teach me thy way. Shine through
States is renowned for its self-reliance. We've been weaned on that. We've been conditioned to do that to a certain degree. We have struggled and will continue to struggle. Each one of us here are going to struggle with the myth of self-sufficiency. What I hope looking back at these three characters has done is just recognize that life teaches us differently. We are not sufficient. There are things in every one of our lives we have never and will never be able to handle on our own. And the quicker we realize that, the quicker we'll realize, hopefully, where the true source is. Holy men of God confessed and acknowledged that. I'm just trying to get us to do the same, to imitate them, because we do not have to be crushed by those issues. Whether it's a family issue that we don't have the answer for. It's a health issue we don't have the answer for. It's whatever it may be. Acknowledge there is strength beyond our own. Get your psalm books out. There's a problem of sin. You can't handle that on your own. But there is a source. The problem is death. You can't handle that on your own. But there is a source who will help. If we can help you today, if you want to come into contact with that, take advantage of it while we stand and sing.